1 Timothy chapter 4, we're actually going to start right in verse 1. And while you look for that, let me pray for us. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us here together this morning. Lord, we ask now that you come and that you speak to us through your word, that you transform our mind, you transform our heart. But Lord, I ask that you would open us to the reality of the spirit realm today. That you would show us things not seen before. Lord, come. Have your way in this today. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. There's even a mocking spirit in here today, and I bind the mocking spirit in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place here today. And we praise you for that, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue in our Seek First sermon series. And today I want to look specifically at the difference between the spirit realm and the physical realm. It's something that so much of the church has just lost sight of, and we're just not aware of it. So we're going to press into this today. If we're going to seek first the kingdom, then we need to make sure that we're putting our efforts in the right places, in the right areas. Remember, the kingdom is the king's domain. The kingdom is the domain of Jesus. But his domain is divided into two realms, the physical and the spiritual. We are to function and seek his kingdom while living in the physical realm, but Jesus' rule and reign is from the spiritual realm. So it puts us in this continuous conflict, and we're going to look at this. The Bible tells us that God is spirit, right? And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to worship him in spirit, but yet we live in the physical. And so I want to help us get an understanding today of the difference between the physical and the spiritual. As I was preparing for this message and I was looking through all of the Pauline epistles, I was actually shocked at how much Paul talks about the difference between the physical and the spiritual. He is constantly telling us to seek in the spiritual realm. In fact, the more I looked at it, the more I began to be convicted of how much we tend to just stay stuck in the physical realm, almost unaware at times of the spirit realm. And so I began to look beyond just the Pauline epistles. And of course, you know what I found throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the spirit realm. But here we are stuck in the physical realm. Now, this message is also closely tied to last week's message where I talked about spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare originates in the spirit realm, but afflicts us and torments us partly in the physical realm. And so we have to have this understanding of the spirit realm and the physical realm in order to win the battle of spiritual warfare. Then next Sunday, I'm going to talk about emotions, anxiety, depression, all of those kinds of things, because they originate in the spirit realm, but afflict us in the physical realm. So last week's message, this week's message, next week's message, it's all kind of tied together. Amen? All right. So today, let's start by looking at 1 Timothy, verse 4. It's one of my favorite passages on this difference between the spirit realm and the physical realm. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The Spirit clearly says," we could just stop and spend all right day right there, couldn't we? "The Spirit clearly says that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Do you see that? Verse 2, "Such things come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for a few things. What are you laughing at? It says all things. When you look it up in the Greek, you know what it means? All things. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is the trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So again, right off the bat in verse 1, we see that it says a message from the Spirit. So this teaching right away in chapter 4, verse 1, it's coming out of the spirit realm. This is not Paul speaking. This is born. This message is born in the spirit realm. Paul so emphatically says, Spirit says. But what does the Spirit say? The Spirit says that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. What do you think? As you look around the world today, are there more Christians or less Christians? Less. More and more are abandoning the faith. New York has tried to declare itself a Christian-free zone. What do you think? Are there deceiving spirits out there? This statement that some people are following deceiving spirits tells us two things. First, it tells us that there are other spirits out there, spirits that are not of God. Which again, this is opening our eyes to the fact that there is a spirit realm, an unseen spirit realm in which these deceiving spirits are hanging out. And if we're unaware of this unseen spirit realm, we will be victims. We will be the next to fall for the deceiving spirits. Amen? But the second thing that it says is that these spirits exist, these spirits that are not of God, but that they are our deceiving spirits. They do not come with our good intentions in mind. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Then, as if that wasn't sobering enough, the Spirit, speaking through Paul, tells us that there are demons teaching. That should just sober us up right there. Demons are teaching. Now, we don't see demons per se, again, because they exist in the spirit realm. We can see their manifestations. I've done over 200 deliverances. You can see the manifestation. But these demons that exist in the spirit realm, they're teaching. Who are they teaching? Us. The ones who are unaware of the spirit realm. The implication here is then, some of what you hear every day is the teaching of demons. Coming from a realm that we are often unaware of. Scary. Do you see how important it is for us to stay tuned into the spirit realm? And to have discerning of spirits. Verse 2. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. What teachings? Deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. The things taught by demons come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. So it's the teachings of demons that come through hypocritical liars. So it's the hypocritical liars that are doing this work of the demonic realm, right? So a demon is trying to influence the physical realm. He does it through people, through hypocritical liars. So we don't go around looking for a little man with the red suit and the little spear. Our clue that a demon is teaching is a hypocritical liar, right? Now, what does that look like today? I would submit to you that today, the primary way that this is happening is a double standard. It's okay for me, but not for you. Do you catch it when you turn on the news? Drives me out of my mind. You turn on the news, you watch any news report, it's all a double standard. One side is saying yes to this, and the other side is saying no to that, but they're saying it's not okay for you, but it's okay for me, and it's not okay. Do you see it? 100% of our political realm has become a double standard. Now, what do you think Paul would say about that if he was here today? I think he would look at this double standard and say, that qualifies as a hypocritical liar. A thing taught by demons. So these people who are projecting onto us a double standard are influenced by deceiving spirits from the spirit realm. We cannot take everything that we see and hear at face value. We must be able to understand and see into the spirit realm. We must have people operating in gifts of discerning spirit so that we can see into this realm. Verse 3 says, they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. He's dealing here with the problem of the day. So there were deceiving spirits, hypocritical liars, that were going around and telling people, you can't eat certain foods, they're unclean. Or you can't eat certain foods because they have been offered to an idol at a temple. And so this is what Paul is showing them as an example of how a deceiving spirit and a demon is teaching the people. But Paul responds by saying, no, all of these things like food and marriage, they're created by God. And if you understand the truth, if you know the truth, you won't fall for this deception. But yet as I look around today, as I look at the world, I think we could make a very similar list, don't you? We could make a list of the things that the world is telling us that we can't do or we should do. But when you compare it to the truth of who God is, the list doesn't make any sense. Right? Verses 4 and 5. For everything God created is good. We could spend all day right there. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. So he's, again, making reference to these food laws, these things that certain people were trying to push. He's dealing with the issues of their day. But it's still a physical realm versus a spiritual realm issue. If a certain food was thought forbidden because it was unclean, Paul is saying that food can now be made clean through the word of God and through prayer. Do you see that? So the spirit realm overcomes the physical realm. In the physical realm, someone is saying that this food is unclean. But you apply the spirit realm, the word of God and prayer, and the food is now clean. So the spirit realm always overcomes the physical realm. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute because that is super important for us to get. Verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. I want to focus on that first little statement. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters. Paul is raising Timothy up to be a leader. And he is telling him here to act courageously when dealing with people afflicted by deceiving spirits. Right? That's the context here. This is largely lost in the church today. It's either not seen as a spiritual issue, and so it is strictly dealt with as a doctrinal issue, Let me give you an example I wasn't going to give. Ha. So I was with this guy named Ken Fish. He's an old Vineyard pastor. He's been around forever. And he was ministering to somebody. And this man comes up to him and starts to argue over doctrine. Thought that Ken was wrong. He starts to argue with Ken over doctrine. Ken understands the truth. He knows. But he sees into the spirit realm. So he immediately sees that this man who's arguing with him has a demonic spirit. He has a deceiving spirit. So he simply tells the man, let me pray for you. I'm not going to argue with you. Let me pray for you. And what he prays, what Ken prays is, I cast out of you a spirit of Calvinism. And the man immediately went into full-blown demon manifestation. You see, you could have looked at that situation and just said, well, these two people have different doctrinal understandings. But it's a spirit realm issue. One of them had a deceiving spirit. But Ken could operate in the spirit realm and see it and call it out for what it was. So in the church, this kind of courageous leadership is largely lost. It's either seen as not a spiritual issue, or it is simply covered over with the Christian platitude, which is driving me out of my mind these days when you see something that's completely wrong and Christians are like, oh, it's just all love and grace. But if we are going to seek first the kingdom of God, we must confront the spiritual realities that afflict us. And most of that battle is in the spirit realm. Verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Paul gives Timothy a warning here to stay away from nonsense and gossip. I love the way the NLT renders it. It says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Don't waste your time arguing over godless nonsense. Instead, train yourself to be godly. If we're going to seek first the kingdom, then of course we want to be godly. But he tells us here that godliness requires training. It doesn't happen by itself. That's going to trip some of us up. Verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The modern English version renders it, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. Notice again, it says all things. But I really want to spend some time and focus on this verse. Paul is making a key distinction between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Now think about it. Physical training, exercising, lifting weights, running, whatever it might be, all of those things happen in the physical realm with physical results, right? But Paul says this is only of little value. We've got two weightlifter, bodybuilders guys in the room. I hate to burst it, but it says it's only of little value. What has greater value is godliness. And not just for now, not just for today, but also for the time that's coming in the resurrection and in heaven. But Paul tells Timothy to train yourself in godliness. The implication here, of course, is that godly training is better and more important than physical training. Right? So let's look at this a little bit. What does godliness and training look like? How do I train myself to be godly? How do I train myself to be in that spirit realm? Here's the thing we got to begin to understand. While physical training only takes place in the physical realm, spiritual training takes place in both realms. Do you see that? If I'm lifting weights, that's only in the physical realm. If I'm going to train myself toward godliness, there's a part that's in the physical realm, there's a part that's in the spiritual realm. So let's briefly look at how we can train ourselves in godliness, keeping in mind the two realms. What does it look like to put more focus in the spirit realm as I train? Think about the issue of time. How much time does it take to train in the physical realm? Aaron, how much time do you spend in the gym each day?
Each day? How about each week?
How about each week?
It's probably like 24 hours.
24 hours. So he spends 24 hours in the gym each week. Ben, how much time do you spend in the gym?
A lot.
About an hour a day. Physical training takes time. Lifting weights takes time. Running takes time. Working out takes time. But do we invest the same or similar amounts of time into being in the Lord's presence and being in the spirit realm? I won't ask you guys how much time you spend in the spirit room. This includes church attendance. There are people that get up and go to the gym every day. And they're at the gym for more than an hour a day. But going to church once a week, oh gosh, that just seems like a lot. Man, I don't know. This whole going to church thing is just cutting into my life. Right? Like we don't have any problem going to the gym, working out for an hour, working out for 2 hours, but going to church once a week, whoa, come on now. And Tim, your sermons have been getting a little long. Gosh, you preached for an hour last Sunday. It looks like he's just getting started today. Who knows? I got to get to the gym. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to look like this when you're 53 years old. Believe it or not, I'm going to come back and do a whole message on this in April. But here's my point. When we win the battle in the spirit realm with our time, I win it in the physical realm. Did you catch that? When I win the spiritual battle with my time, I win in the physical realm, even staying healthier. Amen? When I give in to the physical realm, oh, I'm so busy, I got so much going on, oh my gosh. When I lose the battle in the physical realm, I feel it in the spiritual realm, and my life is falling apart. Anybody want to say amen to that? All right, just checking. When physical demands outweigh my time in the spirit realm, I become both spiritually and physically unhealthy. So we win the war for our physical well-being and our bodies. We win that war in the spirit realm. If we spent as much time in the spirit realm as we did in the gym, the church would be a powerhouse. We would not have people turning from the faith. We would not have the church shrinking up and becoming weak and powerless if we spent as much time in the spirit realm as we did in the gym. So we must begin our godly training with how we manage our time, with an understanding of this verse that time in the spirit realm pays way more dividends than time in the physical realm. Here's another one. Turning down the volume of my flesh. The founder of the vineyard used to use this expression all the time, turning down the volume of my flesh. I can't stay tuned into the spirit realm if there's a lot of other noise in my mind and in my heart. Right? Jesus is always speaking to us, but if I'm always listening to the physical realm, I don't hear him. I have to find ways to tune down, to turn down, to turn off the noise that's going on in my head and my heart. My wife just took a 24-hour spiritual direction retreat. Went up to Lake Geneva, and just a couple times throughout the day, a lady would come in, give 15, 20 minutes of instruction, and then the rest of the time, you're on your own, hearing from the Lord. She came back with a notebook full. I'm like, you heard all that in 24 hours? You see, God is wanting to speak to us, but we have to take the time to listen. I would suggest to you again that the church would be a powerhouse if the members of the church could turn down the volume of the flesh. How do we do that? How do we turn down the volume of the flesh? I'll suggest a few things quickly, and then we'll move on. Paul in Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Tuning down the volume of your flesh begins with tuning in to the Spirit, praying in the Spirit on all occasions. Oh, that's a little much. You know, come on, Tim. You're getting carried away. I'm not going to walk around just constantly praying, constantly being in the Spirit. Oh, really? What are those things in your ears all day long? Those earbuds, is that what they're called? What are you listening to there? What's got your attention there? That's worship music. That's great. Fabulous. But pull them out once in a while and see what the Lord's saying to you. Amen? How about fasting? Fasting is a great way to turn down the volume of your flesh. Fast one day a week. I fast every Friday. I start Thursday at 6 p.m., and if all goes well, I fast till 10 o'clock Saturday morning. It's 40 hours. Turns down the volume of your flesh. Go on a longer fast. Go on a three-day fast. Go on a five-day fast. Go on a seven-day fast. It makes this become subservient to you and to the Lord. So this isn't making constant demands of us, the physical, so that we can tune in to the spiritual. Of course, worship. Being in worship on Sundays, worshiping at home. These are all ways that we train into godliness and tune into the spirit realm. And when you come here on Sunday, don't just walk in the door. Don't show up at 10:30. Don't expect the team, whoever is up here on that Sunday, to carry the load and take you into the spirit realm. That's why I send out the email on Thursday so that we begin preparing. We begin doing our work so that we're preparing for our time in worship. And so that when we come here, we're all carrying that load together. It's a corporate thing. We're all supposed to go into that place of worship together. It's not entertainment. It's not where we sit here and we watch them. We're carrying this load. And so as you enter into church each Sunday, are you preparing? Are you getting ready to worship? Is that what your focus is on? As you're standing around before the service has started, are you focused on worship? Are you focused on entering the spirit realm? Are you solely rooted in the physical of what's for lunch? Again, I submit to you that the universal church, would become a powerhouse. It would become the institution that God intended it to be. If we would be more focused about entering in the presence than what's for lunch. And of course, the word, reading of the word. All of these things, praying in the spirit, fasting, worship, the word. These are all ways that we train into godliness and enter into the spirit realm so that we have victory in the physical realm. Okay? I'm going to assume that you guys know that. I'm going to move on. Deal with some other things. Now, this is not going to be easy as we make a decision to seek first and to win the war in the spirit realm. Of course, there's going to be spiritual warfare. The enemy wants us to spend all of our time in the physical realm, tuned into only the physical. But here's the thing we have to get. The enemy will speak to you in the physical realm. I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too busy, I'm too overwhelmed. But the enemy will also come to you in the spirit realm. You're not good enough, and you will never amount to anything. You see, the enemy crosses back and forth from the physical realm to the spiritual realm, which adds to our struggle because we never know which way he's coming from. One minute he's attacking us in the physical realm. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm not going to church today. I'm just so tired. And then 30 seconds later, in your mind, you're a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. It's all the same attack from the enemy, but he can come at you from the physical and the spiritual. Catch this. Jesus only calls from the spirit realm. Jesus can manifest himself in the physical realm, but he only calls to us from the spirit realm. We must go into the spirit realm to meet Jesus. But all too often, we hear and feel the enemy, but we miss Jesus. Because he is calling from the spirit realm, but we are tuned into the physical. Do you see that? Okay, I want to look at another passage real quick. We'll just be here for a minute. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 44. This is a passage that's dealing with the differences between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians 15:44, if you're trying to find it. It says, they are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Verse 45, the scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, what comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Now, Paul is talking about death and resurrection here, but it gives us a great glimpse into the spirit realm versus physical realm. Look at verse 46. He says, what comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. You see, we're born from the physical nature first. We are born from and we live in the physical nature first. So our natural tendency is to stay stuck in the physical realm. It's where I was born. It's my address. Right? But Jesus' death makes a way for us to enter into the spirit realm both now and at the resurrection. We cannot do this without Jesus Christ because he is the life-giving spirit. He is the one that provides the way from the physical back into the spiritual. He comes and gives me a new address where I can still have my physical body, but I can reside in the spirit realm. Amen? But this battle between our natural birth, our physical birth, and our call to Jesus to move into the spirit realm is a constant struggle. Because while Jesus has made the way, the enemy is always there trying to reel us back into the physical realm. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to all the busyness in your life. Pay attention to the chaos. Pay attention to how tired you are. Pay attention to how all the things that you got to do. And Jesus whispers from the spirit realm, no, come. Come with me. Come with me. I have a better way. I have a better way. I want to begin to wrap up today by giving you a few statements and observations about physical realm versus spiritual realm living. We cannot fight physical battles. Well, I'm sorry. We cannot fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. We cannot fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. I cannot throw money at a spiritual problem. Several weeks ago, I preached on the parable of the talents. And the man with the one talent goes and he buries it in the ground. Doesn't matter how much money you give that man, he will bury it in the ground. It's a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. Cannot throw money at a spiritual problem. We cannot seek medical treatment for a spiritual problem. We were just having a conversation before the church. There was a woman that used to attend this church, and she was plagued with endometriosis. She would be in so much pain at times, she would end up on the floor, curled up in a fetal position in excruciating pain in what the doctors called endometriosis. But she went through a process of deliverance, a spiritual process. And when she went through deliverance, all of the endometriosis pain was completely gone. She never experienced it again, ever. You must address spiritual problems with spiritual issues. You look at something like endometriosis and think, well, that's a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem. There was another woman in this church who used to attend this church one night. We were having a prayer meeting. I just looked at her. I knew her to be a smoker. And I looked at her that night, and I just said the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, I'm inviting her to quit smoking. And so I called her by name, and I said, I believe the Lord is inviting you to quit smoking. But then a demon spoke. Because the woman says, oh, even my doctor says I have to keep smoking because it's the only way to manage my anxiety. I can see in the spirit realm like a demon just spoke to me. I said, okay, cool, I'm going to pray for you. I started to pray for her, and 30 seconds in, she's full on manifesting a demon. It wasn't that the smoking was helping her anxiety. It was a cover for the demonic activity causing the anxiety. We dealt with the demon. We delivered her of the demon. Anxiety was gone. Then she could deal with the physical thing of the smoking with the nicotine addiction. But it all rooted with a spiritual problem that appeared to be a physical problem. Do you see that? So we cannot seek medical treatment for that which is a spiritual problem. The doctors will tell you, I don't know what to do. We cannot seek physical gratification for a spiritual hunger. All of us are created with a hole in our heart to be in the spirit realm, to be in Jesus' presence, to be experiencing Him. But when we lack the understanding or the discipline, the godly training to go after the things of Jesus, we fill that need with other things. We try to gratify it in the physical, with sex or drinking or drugs or whatever it might be. All of those things are a physical response to a spiritual hunger. And the longer I do this, the more I realize that most of our struggles are spiritual problems first. People being instantly healed of physical problems when the spiritual problems are dealt with. Think about the issue of fear and anxiety. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline." So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, the implication is fear is a spirit. Our society is plagued at epidemic levels with anxiety and fear, and they try to treat it with physical solutions. But fear is a spirit. It comes from the spirit realm. It must be dealt with in the spirit realm. Amen? Everything that we seek in the physical realm is found in the spirit realm. Healing is found in Jesus. Abundance is found in Jesus. Love is found in Jesus. Significance is found in Jesus. If you're looking for physical healing in your body, it's found in the spirit realm in the person of Jesus. If you're looking for money and prosperity in your life, it's found in the person of Jesus. If you're looking for love, true love that never ends, it's found in the person of Jesus. If you're looking for significance in your life, it's found in the person of Jesus. We must go into the spirit realm to find the things that are longing for us in the physical realm. You guys okay? That was good. Perfect timing, Ben. You're good, man. I'll have you preaching soon. Think about the actions that we take. Jesus left the spirit realm and entered the physical realm to deal with our sin on the cross, right? Amen? But Jesus also left the spirit realm and entered the physical realm to show us what is possible. How a physical person can live in the physical world, but from a spiritual orientation. Do you see that? Jesus says it three times. He says, "Everything that I have done, you will do, and you will do greater things." We're not going to do that in the physical realm. I'm not going to go out and do greater things than Jesus did in the physical realm. Every action I take should have a spirit realm orientation, because that's how Jesus lived. Do you see this? So it is possible for us as physical beings to live in a physical world, but from a spiritual orientation. Now, what do you think about the world around us? We live in a very physical world. There is this constant battle between science and miracles, science and the supernatural. One of the stories that came to my mind is years ago, this lady came to me. She had just been informed that she had breast cancer. They had done a lumpectomy, and they had determined that it was, in fact, cancer. So I said, well, let me pray for you. I laid hands on her shoulders. I prayed for her. I commanded cancer to die. I see her a couple weeks later. I'm like, how you doing? And she's like, you're not going to believe this, but they went in there, and they did do the mastectomy, and they retested it, and there was no cancer. There was still a lump there, but there was no cancer. Later, I realized I told the cancer to die. I forgot to tell the lump to leave. So the cancer was gone, and the doctor said, you have absolutely no cancer. There's no further treatment needed. So she received a miracle, and even the doctor's like, we can't explain it. And she asked the doctors, like, well, maybe was it cancer, and now it's not cancer? And the doctor was like, no, once cancer, always cancer. She asked the doctors, did you get the wrong x-ray? No, we've got the right x-rays, right? But I bump into that same lady a year later. How are you doing? How's your health? Still healthy? Yeah. She goes, you know what, though? I've been thinking about that cancer thing. I think the doctors just got it wrong. I think I never had cancer to begin with. She lost the battle in the spirit realm, and she gave up her miracle in the name of science, in the name that science made a mistake. Wouldn't you rather believe in a miracle of God than science made a mistake? So we live in this battle where there is this constant tension pulling us back into the physical. But we're going to win the war with Jesus in the spirit realm. Amen? All right, here's your homework for this week. I've got three questions for you to sit with the Lord and ponder. You're going to spend some time in the spirit realm and answer these questions. Question number one. What are the things that are tripping me up in the physical realm? Ask the Lord to show you what are the things that are tripping me up in the physical realm. What in the physical realm just keeps grabbing all my attention and holding me? What are the things that are tripping me up in the physical realm? Then ask the Lord, what does He want you to do about it? What does He want you to do about that thing in the physical realm that's tripping you up? And finally, the third question. It's more of a statement, really, but simply ask the Lord to open your eyes to see into the spirit realm more. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see into the spirit realm more. I read a great little book a number of years ago written by Darren Wilson called Filming God. And when I come back, I'm going to come back and do a whole series on this idea of the physical and the spiritual. I'll reference it then. But in there, Darren talks about how he was out doing street evangelism with some guy. And the guy's like, well, in order for this to be effective, we need to see into the spirit realm. And so he just prayed a quick little prayer, said, Lord, open our eyes to see into the spirit realm. And Darren could immediately see into the spirit realm, which he had never done before, and he could see the glory cloud in certain places. And the guy that he was doing evangelism was said, okay, now all we have to do is walk into one of those glory cloud areas, and whatever we do there will work, because God's there. So ask the Lord to open your eyes to see into the spirit realm. Amen? All right, Ben and team, come back up.